Good morning. That was incredible worship, wasn't it? That was incredible, absolutely incredible. I don't know if you could, I sit right here, and I could see the little ones just getting after it and singing, and Roar, Roar, Lion of Judah, just screaming it out. So they're setting the tone. Thank you to our worship team for leading us. My name is Ben Kendrew. If you're new here, I am the pastor here at Bridge City Church, Brighton Heights. I'd like to welcome any visitors that we have. It's a joy to be with you all. And yesterday, I want to point this out, as Jess talked about a growing church. We had a thing called the Extravaganza, and that was led by our BC Kids director, Katrina Jackson, her husband Jared, and we had over 27 kids show up. We had families from the neighborhood show up, and it was amazing to see just how the kids were interacting with one another. One little sweet girl walked up to me and pulled on my arm, and she said, "Pastor Ben, this is the best day of my life." And I was like, oh, I just melted right there in front of her. But it was just amazing just to see, like, the joy of kids and seeing Jesus and who he is. And that's why we do what we do, amen? So it is a joy to be with you all today. I've been away for a little bit. I had a procedure done, and I just wanted to thank you all on behalf of Mel and I for the cards and the calls and just checking up on me with that procedure. So God is good, and I'm so thankful to be here with you all on this Palm Sunday. Today is Palm Sunday. Happy Palm Sunday to you. This is a big deal in the Christian faith. The start of Holy Week. How many of you are excited for Holy Week and the start of... It's going to be amazing. And so as we think about, I can't believe, like, I just remember Christmas and our you know, candlelight service. And, you know, Christmas is God with us. And now we have Easter and Resurrection Sunday, who God is for us. Did you know that? And so as we think about that, that's the way we start this week, and thinking about how God is for us. And my hope and prayer is by the end of this time together, at the end of our time together, that you can see that God is for you. That God is for you, and God loves you with an everlasting love. And as we start this, as we start Palm Sunday, and we've heard all the, how many of you have been growing up in a church? I know Mel and I grew up in a church where they would wave palm branches and things like that, and we would use them as swords, and it's never a good idea for little guys to have palms. It's, you get it. But as we start Palm Sunday, we think about what Jesus did on his way to the cross. And it's a beautiful day, it's a triumphal day, and it's an amazing day. But this is the start of Holy Week, where we're having that march into Good Friday, and then ultimately Resurrection Sunday. But I want you to think about that. Today is that day, and as we look at the passage of Scripture and the story of what Jesus as he goes through there and enters Jerusalem and how people responded, I want you to think, how do you respond to Jesus? How do you respond to Jesus in your life? Is it one of praise, or is it one of rejection? And I want you to think about that this morning. So without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we do not have a faith. We simply do not. It is the cornerstone. It is the foundation. It is the most important week of the year. And so without that resurrection, we don't have anything. And so without the resurrection, there's no foundation. It's a sinking sand. And so that foundation is that resurrection. And I'm so excited to talk to you about that. Here's what I see this is that, is when we think about the Christian faith and we think about what it means to follow Jesus, or what we perceive it to, what it looks like to follow Jesus, we treat it up like we're in the car and we just turn up the music when our car is really in need of, like, maybe a tune-up or a checkup, or the check engine light has come on. I've had a year or two of bad car problems. Anybody have car problems this week? Okay, some of you, right? And so just turning up the music in the car, or the podcast, or whatever you're listening to, it doesn't make your ride feel better. It doesn't make the problems go away, does it? You might not be able to hear it for a second, but you might be able to feel it. And it might help for the moment, but it doesn't really get to what we're doing and what we need to do. We need to figure out what the problem is in the car and get it taken care of. What's the root cause of that sound, or that shake that's in the car, or whatever it is. But we have to figure out what is going on. Why is your car broken? And I wish that was true, just simply the magic and power of music, right? Our worship team was amazing, but, like, just turning it up, There's not power in music to fix your car. You got to deal with the root issues in your life. And so the resurrection is not about distraction or surface level relief, but it's about God dealing with the root causes and the things that are in our hearts and the things that are in our soul, the things that distract us from becoming all that we could be. The human condition is marred and marked by the effects of Genesis chapter 3, the effects of sin. And so that's really the root problem. Instead of turning up the music in our life isn't going to fix it. And so that's why I love Holy Week. It's one of my most favorite times of the year that we really get to focus, really truly focus. Not that we don't focus on Jesus some other time of the year, but we're called to as believers during this time to really focus on what Jesus has for us. And so God wants to deal with the issues in our life during this week. He wants you to look at your life and examine and say, what are those things? What are the sounds? What are those feelings? The deeper issues that I'm dealing in my life. And so many of us are prone to just turning up the music. Yes. And God wants you to deal with it today. Not just to have ham at the end of next Sunday. He doesn't want to have you Easter egg hunts, but he wants you to deal with the issues in your life. That's the beautiful thing about Palm Sunday. And so my encouragement, church, is that don't let this week slip by. Don't let it slip by. Because here, I'm telling you this, that God wants to do a work in your life, a deep work in your life, in your soul, to find the root problem, the things that are in your life that he wants you to deal with, that he has the answer for. He already has the answer for, and it's in his son, Jesus Christ. So the word of God, listen, the word of God goes deeper than we can see. The word of God goes into those hidden places and into the real issues of sin and death and those things that we're struggling with that only God can touch, that you're just kind of tired of feeling this way. I'm tired of my body feeling this way. I'm tired of dealing with my stuff. God wants to go into those issues and deal with it and not just ignoring it and sweeping it under the carpet or turning up the music, but he wants you to deal with it. Holy Week is about that. Resurrection is about new life. Resurrection is about a hope and a future in Jesus Christ. And so that is the beauty of that. And so Jesus demonstrates this for us in the passage today when we think about what he went through and how he's going into something deeper. And he's taking his disciples along the ride and he's demonstrating that for them. I know this, that when I'm going through problems, when I'm going through, like when I was going through my recent surgery, I was focusing on the pain, all the stuff that I was going to go through. Have you ever felt like that? That when we're going through life, when we're going through surgery, you focus on like the pain and the suffering and what I'm going to feel like, and we focus on that. But what I love about Jesus is that he's already focused on the end game. He's focused on the end game and what he wants to restore us to. And so, you know, that's what Jesus wants us to do. He sees what we're going through. He sees that all we could be, right? But all we see, we tend to do this, and this is what it means to be human, is we focus on the pain and the struggle, the negative, right? Do you feel that this morning? And so here's the beautiful thing about Holy Week. Jesus calls us to focus on him. So if Jesus is going to focus on the end game and he's going to provide a way for us, that's what we should be focusing on. But it's so easy for us, and I'm there. I'm guilty of this too, that we focus on the pain and the suffering. But we've got to go through that as Jesus went through the suffering to get to the end. Amen? And so while we're going through that suffering, we have to say, God, what are you trying to say to me? What are you trying to do in me? And how do you want me to respond? You know, and so that's what I want you to think is not just focus on just getting through it, but to focus on Jesus who already has been through it. And so that's the point of this moment, right? He's going to, he's approaching this time in history. He's approaching this. He sees our struggle. He knows the pain we're going through. He himself knows the pain that he's going to go through during this week. But he ultimately is on point. He's on mission. He's focused. He's going forward with the Father's will for his life. So Jesus, that's the difference between him and you and I. Like, we tend to focus on the pain and the suffering and just getting through it. And Jesus focuses on the end game and restoring us and redeeming us and give us a hope and give us a life and a future. That's what he calls us to. That's what Holy Week should be about. We should see what Jesus was calling to. The cross was not the end of Jesus' story, right? It was this beginning. The resurrection is marking the will of God's story for Jesus and the plan to bring about that was yet to come, this restoration, this victory over sin and death. And so Holy Week begins that march toward that. Easter isn't just about temporary improvement. It's not. It's not about that improvement in our lives. Self-improvement is good. I'm all for it. Get better. Be the best you can in Jesus' name. But don't let that be the issue. The issue is about ultimate victory in and through Jesus Christ. That's why we do what we do. And so not just to get through life and endure and suffer, right? But to have victory now and victory later because of what Jesus did on the cross. And so what are you focusing on this morning? Are you focusing on the pain in your life? Are you focusing on Jesus? Are you focusing on what he did? Are you focusing on the cross and the empty tomb? There's a lot of different things this week. I'm excited. I'm going to invite you to the Good Friday service at the end of the week. We're going to hear more about that. And then we have two services next week. But today marks that moment of Passion Week. And in Passion Week, from the Latin word, we get this word passio, which means to endure, which means to suffer. And so when we say Passion Week, it wasn't like Jesus going through a love story or something like that. There's a type of love story. It's more of a redemptive love story. But it's Jesus enduring and suffering and going through abandonment and rejection and pain and suffering and crying out to the Father. And literally crying over the people that he came to save. Will they accept him or will they reject him? And so this Passion Week of Jesus is marked about that. It's this pain and suffering. The pain and suffering that Jesus went through defines the crucifixion. It's from, again, that Latin to endure and to suffer. Think about all that Jesus endured during this week. Friends that he discipled and they did life together would ultimately reject him. People that he healed would ultimately yell out, crucify. And so he endured this Passion Week through that. And it's amazing how as we start today, as he enters in, and we're going to get there, in 1 week they'll go, so hey, Hosanna in the highest, waving those palm branches, to throwing up fists and saying, crucify him. Two different responses. And so Jesus wants us to respond to that passion in his life. And so you think about what he went through in the Garden of Gethsemane. That's the place where he met with the disciples right before he was arrested. Even there, he endured this passion and right before he was arrested and taken to the cross. And then we think about the cross on Good Friday and the seven statements of Jesus and all he endured. That is part of the passion. When we think about the Gospels and we think Passion Week and we think of the life and the ministry of Jesus, the Gospels are essentially, that word means good news. The good news of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, it's found in the New Testament. And that's Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John. And so as we talk about this story today, it's this triumphant or triumphal entry. It's when he enters into Jerusalem to begin Passion Week. And then we see that tradition of waving palms and singing Hosanna in the highest, recognize him as a different type of king, not a Roman conquering king or a militant political king, but as one who came to save souls and provide a way to the Father. That's the way we see Jesus. And so when we think about that, I want to show this to you because it's important to see that the Gospels in the Bible, it mentions out of 89 chapters, 27 to 29 cover the last week of Jesus's life. And it's a big deal, isn't it? The Bible, if it's going over this and emphasizing it, it should be important to us. If you read your Bibles and go through there and say, if there's this much ink or time invested into that, I should say something in my life. And so we see that. Over 31% of the Gospels were all Passion Week, 31%. And so that's a significant amount of time that the Gospel writers want to show that this is the foundation of our faith. This is where we should focus on what Jesus did. Matthew 21 through 27, about 25% of it is about Passion Week. Mark 11 through 15 is about 38%. Luke 19 through 24 is 25% of the last week of Jesus' life. And then finally, the Gospel of John, chapters 12 through 19, is about 33%. And so if the disciples, the ones he mentored and was beginning to teach and pour into, they wanted us to know the story of Jesus, why he did what he did, it should be important for us to know what it says. And it should impact our lives tremendously. And so what I love about this is that on Palm Sunday, Jesus demonstrated his passion. his passion, what he endured, the abandonment, the brokenness, the weeping and the tears that he went through. This is what Jesus demonstrated for you and me during this Passion Week. Number one is this, that God has a passion for God's plan. Jesus was always on mission. He always followed the Father's will. The second thing is this, is that he had a true passion for people. Some of you sitting here go, I don't like people. I have a cousin that says that very same thing. I don't like people. Not very Christ-like, right? I got to talk to him. I'm going to pray for him. Pray that he shows up. But then there's other, some of you are like, I feel that way too. Let's talk afterward. And then his other passion is this, is that he has a passion for his house to be a house of prayer. And then that house of prayer becomes us. The kingdom of God is within us. And so we have the triumphal entry. If you know anything about that, you know the story, you know the branches, you know what it marks. But this is what Jesus was like. When we look at scripture, when we read scripture, we should know this. What is it trying to tell me what Jesus is like? What is Jesus's character? What is God like in this? And so immediately we see this, that that as he begins to go ride down into Jerusalem, his transportation, his mode of transportation was a young colt or donkey. Not many of us, how many have a colt or donkey at home? Okay, good, that's good. It's probably for the best, right? But in this time, it was important because it was for sacred purposes. It marked and tied in Old Testament scripture and prophecy, but it also, most importantly, it marked the state of what this coming king would be like, and that's one of humility. And so what is Jesus like? He's the humble king. We sang about it this morning. He's that humble king. In the Old Testament book known as Zechariah, 516 years before Palm Sunday, wrote and prophesied this day that he's talking about, the Palm Sunday. He said this, "Rejoice, O people of Zion," Zechariah 9:9. "Rejoice, O people of Zion. Shout in triumph, O people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious." Those are two descriptives of what he's like. And the third one, "and yet he is humble." Say humble. Humble, riding on a donkey's colt. And so this is a mark, this is a distinction of what Jesus was like. He was a humble. When you think of Rome during that time, in the time of Jesus, you think of the conquering kings, there wasn't a lot of humility in those leaders. You could argue that's probably true of today's leaders as well. But here's what we're saying, that there wasn't a lot of humility in there. And so Jesus is demonstrating in Zechariah chapter 9. He is humble, riding on a donkey. And so here we have this. The Passion Week begins. He's riding in on the donkey. He's riding toward Jerusalem. And this is what we see. Luke chapter 19, verses 36 through 37. It's on the screen behind me. He says this. "As he," Jesus, "rode along, the crowd spread out their garments on the road ahead of him. When he reached the place where the road started down the Mount of Olives, all of his followers began to shout and sing as they walked along, praising God for all the wonderful miracles that they had seen." And so scholars will say that most of this cheer was led by his worship team that he had, were known as his disciples. And you think about all of the things that the disciples had encountered and witnessed their teacher, their rabbi, Jesus, do during this time together, these 3 short years. And they're leading the cheers. Hosanna! Praise to the King! They're shouting at the top of their lungs. And people are coming from all around and saying, what is going on? And they recognize what's happening. And they join in. Some are joining in out of authenticity. Some are joining in out of simple curiosity and duty. And I think the attitude of worship is important to note there. Are we singing praise, hallelujah, Hosanna in the highest, out of an authenticity for who Jesus is? Or are we doing it out of duty and obligation, or because the crowd is doing it? And I love that he has this passion for that. So this was common. This processional, that a king or a dignitary would arrive into town, and as they would arrive into town, the gates would open. If you know that Jerusalem is a city with walls, and in those walls are some gates, and as this dignitary or king would come in, they would open up the gates, and they would begin to shout and begin to praise this dignitary. They would cut palm branches and kind of lay down these palm branches in homage or honor of that king. And so that's what we see that's happening here to Jesus. And so as we see this, this was not a new experience that the people of Jerusalem, Jews and Gentiles, understood what was happening. They knew Zechariah chapter 9, what this was referring to. And so we have this almost like red carpet treatment that Jesus is coming down on a donkey and his disciples are singing and shouting and the people are saying Hosanna and they're laying that out for him. And so here we have this from the hill of Mount Olives. I've actually been here. I got to go to there in 2005. That you ascend from the Mount of Olives down the hill and then up through the road into Jerusalem. And so that's what Jesus encountered from the Mount of Olives. They were singing and shouting and they were honoring him with their lives. And so that word word in shout in Luke 10:37 means an uproar or a shake or the building itself or the ground shook. Have you ever been in a place where there's been such yelling and shouting and roaring and praising that the ground shook, right? Have you ever had that experience where you're there, you're feeling that shaking? And so Jesus literally rocked this place. He was there. He rocked this place. The biggest thing for me that I can compare this to, the closest thing I can compare this to, listen, Palm Sunday was an amazing time, but as they were shouting and singing, the place rocked. And if you ever been to a Steeler game where they scored a touchdown or some big defensive play or maybe even a Pitt game, it roars. The stadium roars. If you've been to a Pens game and they score a goal, that place roars. And occasionally when the Pirates win, they hit a home run. You get it. So there's a roar. There's a roar that happens, right? That's what was happening here at this time in Jerusalem. As Jesus, this humble king, comes down, they're roaring. This place is rocking. And so people are joining in. Again, there's those responses of authenticity and kind of duty that's happening there. And some are just kind of curious what is happening. And so I just wonder if we think about praising. As Jess said this morning, like that was an amazing time of praise. You could hear the little ones. Our worship team does an excellent job every week. But we think about what praise does. That as believers, as we go through different things in our life, when we're going through difficulties and we don't know what to do, guess what we should do? Praise. We should praise. That's what Jesus did in the times of his difficulty. And so we should praise. Nothing squashes the devil's whispers and silences religious people more than just praise. Right, and I'm using that religious people in the most negative sense, right? The self-righteousness that totally misses the mark. And so Jesus is saying that is this, what are they shouting? What are we shouting? Are we praising Jesus with our lives? Are we praising Jesus with our voice? What are we shouting this morning? What are we shouting this morning? In Luke 19:38, it says this. Moving on, and as he comes, they're saying this. They are shouting this. Blessings on the king who comes in the name of the Lord. Exclamation point. You see that? Peace in heaven and glory in the heaven, highest heaven. Hosanna, which Hosanna means save us now. So as they say this, they're saying this in front of Roman guards and authorities. They're saying this in front of religious persecution. Right? From their even some of their own people. They're saying Hosanna, and some of it's coming from the depths of their soul. They're crying out, God, save us. And I just wonder where we're crying out from, the place in our heart. Are you really crying out from the depths of your heart and your soul? Do you really want Jesus to save you, or does it just sound like a good idea on a Sunday? He wants to save you. He's come to save you. He wants to deliver you. But here is this cry of desperation. This is a true cry from those that are there, this cry of desperation. And when there's desperate people, they can become dangerous. They want to see change happen in their lives. And I love that. They're singing, Hosanna, save us now. What is your cry this morning? How are you praising Jesus? What I love in Psalm 118, pointing back to the Old Testament, as the psalmist writes, he says this, you probably have heard this. This is like one of those like Hobby Lobby like gift things that you see on walls with the cursive writing. You get it. Okay. Psalm 118:24, it says, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it, right? And so what I love this is that, you know what this was talking about? You know what this was prophesying, pointing to? Palm Sunday. It was pointing to Jesus as the coming king. That's what it was pointing to. And so we see this attitude of the heart of God's desiring this for his people. that they should want to be saved. They should want to be in relationship. They should repent for the things they're going through, right, and doing in their lives, and as it's taking them far from him. He's saying, repent. And so God has this passion for praise. How are you praising Christ Jesus today? Are you praising him with all that you have? Or are you just kind of going through the motions? Or are you just like, I'm just getting through it, Pastor? How are you praising Christ today? The second thing is this. Jesus demonstrates on Palm Sunday, and I love this in his life, that he has a passion for people. Has a passion for people. Some of us need to hear this morning. Some of us don't have a passion for people. You're like, I don't like people, like my cousin's shirt. I don't like people. But here's the thing. Jesus loved people. God loves people. Here's what it says in Luke 19, 41 through 42. And it says this. But as he came closer to Jerusalem, remember, he's coming down from the hill, Mount of Olives. He's going through the valley. He's going up to Jerusalem. He gets closer to Jerusalem, and he saw the city ahead of him. And he does this. He began to, say, weep. He began to weep. He began to weep. He began to cry. Jesus, the Son of God, this coming Messiah, this King, began to weep over people. People that totally missed the point. What was to come through coming conquerors that were going to happen to Jerusalem. He knew what was coming. The people that rejected him, he began to weep. Look at verse 42. How I wish today. These are Jesus' words. And think of the tone of voice he's using it. He's saying, he begins to weep, and this is what he's saying. I wish today that you of all people would understand the way of peace. But now it is too late, and peace is hidden from your eyes. That's heartbreaking. Peace is hidden from your eyes. And so Jesus, as he came and he endured and went through all those things, he's coming down and he realizes what's going to happen at the start of this week. He realizes what's going to come to these people, and he begins to weep. Now, the word weep is expressing uncontrollable, audible grief and wailing. Weeping means a sobbing out loud. When was the last time you wept? When was the last time you wept over anything that moved you to that type of state of being? When was the last time you did it this morning? Okay. Yesterday. Listen, I want to encourage you. Listen, if you're your heart should break for the things that breaks God's heart. You should weep. You should see people in situations, and it should break your heart like it did Jesus. The trouble with the Christian faith is there's not enough people with broken hearts that don't have the eyes to see and have compassion. We're not weeping. We don't see people. We see people as problems. We don't see people as creating the image of God, and we deny them dignity and respect. And so Jesus, he saw them. He's there. You're missing the point. And he began, his heart broke for the city of Jerusalem as he went down into the valley. He walked in there, and he rode in there, and he began to weep. Why is it so hard for us to weep? Why is it so hard for us to see people as God created them, made in his image? Why is it so hard for us to just get caught up in our own agendas and our own stuff and what we got going on for lunch? Why is it so easy to be focused on that and not focused on inviting people here to hear the good news of the gospel on an Easter Sunday or a Palm Sunday or a Good Friday? We miss the point. And so I'm challenging you as your pastor that our hearts should weep and break for those that are in our circle of our lives and people we don't know, the stranger. Our hearts should be deeply moved. What deeply moves you this morning? What are you deeply moved by? Are you moved by like what's happening in the offseason for the Steelers? Are you moved by what's going to happen? I don't know, but this is the stuff that matters. We should be deeply moved by this. And so I want to ask you, like Jesus is talking about, you know, in Jerusalem, it's everywhere. It says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And he's asking the people to think about the way of peace. In the Sermon on the Mount, he talks, blessed are the peacemakers. And so that was a central message to Jesus' teaching in his life and ministry. But people missed the point. Peace was the furthest thing from their mind. Some of them wanted a political Messiah. Some wanted them to have this different things met in their life. And that's a natural thing, but they missed the idea. Jesus was calling them to peace, and they totally missed the point. What is your Jerusalem? What is your Jerusalem? Are you weeping for people? Does your heart break and beat for those people in your life? They're for family members. What's on that board back there? I for the last few Sundays, I've gone back and I've prayed over that board. And what I love is seeing some of the kids writing for their friends or mom and dad. Like, even little kids understand this. They see the need for Jesus in people's lives. What did Jesus see as he rode down the hill and when he approached Jerusalem? Look at this picture. There should be a picture of the city of Jerusalem. And so that's from the top of Mount Olives. And you can see as he rode and wound down through there, he's weeping and crying. And it's a beautiful, think about Washington, right? Think about when you're on top of Mount Washington, Pittsburgh, you can see the whole city. That's from a different side, but you get it. Go back to the Jerusalem picture for me. But as Jesus is kind of going down there, he sees this kind of beautiful panoramic view of the city of Jerusalem. He sees his people. He sees people that are rejecting him. He's seeing the religious people that just want to take him out. And he begins to weep. This is what broke Jesus' heart. He saw the people that needed peace and love and life, and they rejected that. And he has a heartbeat for people. What else made Jesus cry? What else made Jesus cry? Well, in the Garden of Gethsemane, during Holy Week, as we get closer to Good Friday, in Hebrews 5, 7, and 8, it says this. It says, while Jesus was here on earth, he offered prayers and pleadings with a loud cry and tears. With a loud cry and tears. Do you hear the attitude of what Jesus was like? He loves you. He loves people. It says, to the one who could rescue him from death, and God heard his prayers because of his deep reverence from God. And even though Jesus was God's son, he learned obedience through the things he suffered. And so Jesus endured suffering. He endured rejection. He endured, he's proclaiming, trying to tell people about love and peace. He had people hating him. He wasn't performing to their standards. He had people coming against him. So Jesus was understanding this, and it was through his suffering and his passion that he's enduring. Look, you're going to go through some difficult things in life if you haven't already. And God wants you to learn from those things, but he wants you to weep from them and put him at the center of that. How can God use that weeping, and how can you move closer to demonstrating what Jesus was crying out to do? Verse 8, even though Jesus was God's son, he learned obedience through the things he suffered. I don't know what you're going through today, and I know some of you are really suffering. Like, you're really going through, some of you have some physical limitations that you're going through. I can relate to that. Some of you spiritually are just, you're going through it, asking God, where are you? Why are you so silent? Some of you feel isolated and lonely from community. Jesus hears that. Jesus knows that. And he weeps with you. I hope you hear that. He weeps with you. He knows what you're going through. He knows what you're going through. And that's why he did what he did, to show and demonstrate love. And he had a love for people. He had a love for people that was just, it was everything. And so this morning, I just want to ask you, what breaks your heart? What are you weeping over? What is your Jerusalem? What are you asking God to do? There's invites on your seat. Listen, there's invites on your seat. There's two of them. Just pass these out this week. Don't throw them away. Don't give them to your kids to write on. We have plenty if you need that. But take these invites on your seat and invite somebody. Truly invite them. Invest them and say, hey, listen, this is what's happening this week. I would love for you to join me and sit with me at church. There's two opportunities. Take these and give it away. Because listen, more than ever, people are dying to hear this. They're dying to hear Jesus in a different way. And they want to be invited. They want to be included. They want to know that Jesus loves them. And so guess what? God has called you to do that, to step up and to step in, to be the people and the voice for him and for this generation. And so as we think about Palm Sunday, as we think about Holy Week, he had a passion also, for prayer, that we would be a house of prayer. What a great image. We think about us being a house of prayer. Luke 19:45 through 46 says this. Then Jesus entered the temple. The temple was that main structure in the city of Jerusalem where they would go, and God's presence was there, and it began to drive out the people selling animals for sacrifices. And so if you look at any Bible, in the Bible, there's usually a map of what the temple looked like. And within those outer courts, they had tables, merchandise of animals they would sell. And so this greatly offended and hurt Jesus. And he said to them, the scriptures declare in verse 46, my temple will be a house of prayer, but you have turned it into a den of thieves. And so as he's talking about the temple and God's presence dwelt there, he said, this is what you've done. You've turned it into a den of thieves. People were missing the point. They didn't understand the importance of prayer, and they didn't understand the presence and the power of God in their life. And so as we think about what the temple was, it was that dwelling place. It was where people came. It was this household. And prayer is that exchange of wishes and declarations toward God. And it's communion, it's worship, and it's a connection and communicating with God and crying out to him. And this has turned into a place of commerce and debauchery. And Jesus was disgusted by that. He was disgusted by that. In the outer courts of the temple, there were Gentiles. Those who are not Jewish were allowed to come and pray. And at the temple, there was so much commotion and confusion and selling and buying. I recommend if you've ever seen The Chosen, there's some great scenes of the temple in there. But you hear all this commotion and clutter. The people could come, and they couldn't come and just communicate with God. They couldn't come and worship because they were distracted by all the commerce and the exchanging of money. And so Jesus does what? He flips the tables. He flips, and he's out of disgust. There was total disrespect going on to the presence of God in the temple. It goes, you're missing the point. You're missing the point. And I just wonder, are we missing the point of who Jesus calls us to be? That the temple of God is us. It's the kingdom of God is within us. And so as the Holy Spirit comes and lives in us, that's where we're called to be, is we're called to live out of that and demonstrate that to the world. The people need to know that. The context of in Isaiah 55 and 56, the Messiah was about to be revealed. And so Jesus begins to quote them. And he says, listen up, God is about to do a new thing as Isaiah is declaring this. And when the Messiah comes, people from every nation and every tongue on earth will understand and taste the goodness of God's salvation. And so Jesus is quoting this back to him. He's saying, not just Gentiles in the outer court, not just the Jews on the inside, but it's for everybody, Republicans and Democrats. It's for everybody. It's for the broken, the people that have it all together. It was for everybody. And so when the Messiah comes, people from every nation will come and taste the goodness of God's salvation. Holy Week is the beginning of that, when people come to the realization that this message is for everybody, not just some. It's just not those who have it together. It's for the broken. That's what the church is, and that's what the beautiful thing is, that Jesus has a passion for that, has a passion to have us be the house of prayer. Do you see that in your life, that God wants you to be that person of prayer, that he wants this building, this church, to be a house of prayer, that it's for people that are from all kinds of different backgrounds? Listen to this verse, Isaiah 56, 7 through 8. It says this. Isaiah's talking about, and he's talking about this day on Palm Sunday. He says this, I will bring them to my holy mountain to Jerusalem and will fill them with joy in my house of prayer. I will accept their burnt offerings and sacrifices. This is what it was supposed to look like. Because my temple will be called a house of prayer for all nations. Say all nations. And right at the foot of the Mount of Olives is a church there. You can Google this. It's called the Garden of Gethsemane. It's called the Church of All Nations. They built this church as the place where Jesus suffered in the Garden of Gethsemane and prayed. But the name of the church, because of this passage and because of who Jesus is the Church of All Nations, demonstrating it wasn't Jesus that just came for the some. It was for everybody. It was for everybody. Think about what heaven is going to look like someday. There's going to be people that don't look like you or think like you, but because of Jesus, we're all going to be worshiping someday together. What a beautiful image. And so we have this, is that Jesus becomes, he says in verse 8, for the sovereign Lord who brings out back the outcasts of Israel, I will bring others to you besides my people Israel. And so he sees this, is that this message is for all people. And we get the awesome opportunity is to present the gospel. If you don't know what to say, I encourage you, bring them to somebody that would love to talk to them about the gospel. You can do that, right? Matthew did that. If you know how to do it, if you know how to do the bridge to life, do that. Use this great tool, we have them in the back, to help you understand what it means to actually follow Jesus, to go for him, to follow after him, to go after all that you have, right? And so this house that Jesus is calling us to be, the church, the modern day church, is for all nations, for all people, amen? And so the prayer is a significant part of this relationship with God. It was a significant part of who Jesus called to be. Listen, there's things on the back called impact cards. It's that green board back there. You can turn and look. Right at the connection point table. If you want to pray for somebody or offer a prayer, there's pins back there. You can pin that right to the wall. And just pray. This is a house of prayer. So we should be praying for people and inviting people here this week. This is Holy Week. This is the week. This is the week. We got this. So you've got to step in. I'm encouraging you. What are you praying for? What breaks your heart? Do you see people with dignity and respect? Do you see them as souls that need saving? That's why I'm in this. That's why I do what I do. It's because of that. I want people to know about the good news of Jesus Christ. And so I'm going to have this. Listen, I'm going to invite Tom Rachel and Linda Dovey. I'm going to ask them to pray. Since this is a house of prayer, they're on our prayer team. I love these two so much and what they do.